Hey there, welcome to The Hot Slice, the weekly podcast brought to you by Pizza Today Magazine. I'm your host, Jeremy White, editor-in-chief of Pizza Today, joined today by the one and only Denise Greer, executive editor of Pizza Today. Good morning, Denise.
Good morning, Jeremy. How are you?
Well, I'm frantic right now. We are crunch time. We are less than a month away from Pizza Expo, and it's not just any Pizza Expo, it's the 40th, so it's a little, every Pizza Expo is a big deal, but this is just a little bigger of a deal, and we are at that time, we're on that final stretch, that sprint, trying to tie up any and every loose end. All the big stuff's buttoned up, but there are always the little loose ends that you're frantically tying last minute, and that's where we're at right now.
You know, we're attacking those final checklists, which actually I'm doing, fun you say that, I'm doing an article on Pizza Today probably this week, early next week, where I'm going to provide a checklist for participants to say what they need to do before the show so that they can make sure they're ready to come to the show and get to work and have fun. Because the worst thing you can do is get to Expo, not know what you're doing, and have to like prepare on the fly. To do everything, just get it done ahead of time, and then you can just coast when you get there and have fun.
Especially if it's your first show. If it's your first show, you can walk in blind and just float around and figure things out, and you'll have the time of your life. But if you come in with a plan that's buttoned up, you're going to see and do so much more. Speaking of things you need to do, Denise, the very first thing you need to do, and you need to do it right now if you haven't already done so, that is download the Pizza Expo app onto your mobile device.
Absolutely. So you're going to you're going to want to pull out your badge information, or it's just your email that you use for your badge. And then that's going to get you into the app. We'll provide the link below so you can just go do that quickly. And once you're in there, you can do all sorts of things. You can plan out your education sessions, because as we know, you've put out a stellar lineup of education this year. It's really top notch. It might be one of the best education sessions that we've seen. Looking at that show floor, because that show floor is sold out. It is huge. So you're going to want to take a look at that ahead of time to make sure that you're getting down to those companies that you need to see.
And Denise, every year, multiple people, not just one or three, multiple people come up to you or I in the Pizza Today booth, or grab us on the show floor as we walk by and say, hey, where is such exhibitor and such XYZ? What booth number are they? And we pull out our phone, we pull up the app, and we tell them where they are. But point being, if you download the app, all you've got to do is open up your phone, and if you're looking for point of sale company XYZ or tomato company XYZ or whatever you're looking for, you can find that information yourself right there, in the palm of your hand.
Yeah. That is one area you're not going to want to miss. And that is the International Pizza Challenge area in the corner. We always put it so that you can get right to it. And you're going to hear it, because it's, we have John Kudekinst mastering that, emceeing that this year again. And it's going to be huge this year. And that's why this episode is dedicated to judging. Who do we have on the show?
So we have three of our esteemed judges. We have many judges at the International Pizza Challenge. We can't have
50 this year. Is that what podcast. I'm hearing?
Yeah, right. So, we're not going to do a podcast with dozens of people on it at one time, but we do have three of our esteemed judges are sitting in with us today. Mr. Hasi Sadri, Scott Anthony, and Scott Wiener. All three gentlemen are experienced judges. It's not their first rodeo. They have judged International Pizza Challenge in various categories multiple times for many years now. Mm-hmm. So they can really come at this with a breadth of experience at their disposal so that they can educate you and I and our listeners on how exactly judging at the International Pizza Challenge works.
Yeah. And one thing that I love is, let's give the props to Jeremy Galvin and Michael LaMarca for really what they've done is they've taken what is what they've always done with the International Pizza Challenge, and they've really decided to make that transparent and spell it out for everyone and put it out there in code of conduct, code of ethics. They've really spelled out everything. So that's what we're going to kind of talk about is what's happening with the International Pizza Challenge.
Yeah, you know, they've made the process better. They've made it transparent. They've made it ethical, and they've just bottom line made it a better process. And as a result, that has made this competition a better competition. And as a result, this competition keeps growing and is just bigger than ever. Yeah, props to those guys, as well as to Bill Oakley, who really spearheads these efforts as well, on behalf of Pizza Expo. And yeah, Denise, these three gentlemen that we're having on, they've got a lot to say about the process. You and I did our due diligence and did our job as journalists and asked some pretty good questions, I will say as well. So
Absolutely.
let's get them on and get this thing rolling.
Right on, here we go.
Performance Food Service is proud to deliver high-quality products, innovative technology, and custom operational solutions to restaurants of all sizes across the country. The flagship division of Performance Food Group, with deep roots in the restaurant industry, Performance Food Service has been the exclusive distributor of the Roma family of brands for more than 65 years. This signature relationship has allowed Performance Food Service to become a leader in the pizza and Italian segment of food service nationwide.
All right. So, International Pizza Challenge judges, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having
Morning.
us.
Good morning. All
Morning.
right. Hasi, since you've been doing this for a long time, can you tell us a little bit, give us that inside scoop of what it's like to be a judge with the International Pizza Challenge?
As a rookie judge to begin with, it's exciting. But it's scary too in the same time. I remember those days 10 years ago, I think. Didn't know what to do. So you kind of copy other judges, at them, see what they're doing, see if you can be like them. And well, as the time goes by, you learn and experience and on, learn from everyone else. And then you feel more comfortable and more accurate with your judging, and goes on on. But it's all exciting every time. See the other creativity with the fantastic competitors, and see how much they're gaining and how much they're progressing. It's just so exciting what they're taking home with them with their experience, and that's beautiful altogether.
How about you, Scott
Well
Weiner?
said.
Yeah, judging is really interesting because you, as soon as you sit down at the table, you feel excitement because you're going to eat some of the best pizzas in the world, but also this weight of responsibility that you have to make sure that you're assessing them accurately, because the whole point of the competition is not just to figure out who is a better pizza crafter. It's really to figure out what are the trends, who's executing on what style properly. It's really about who can deliver in this really difficult situation of cooking in an unfamiliar place, a giant room that's not the temperature you're used to, with an oven that you're not used to. And I think that the responsibility is on the judges to make sure that we correctly assess everybody's performance.
Scott Anthony, anything to add?
For me also, I find it a learning experience. It's very inspiring to see what people come up with, especially if you get to judge in the non-traditional category. And it's just been like a real privilege. And I take it very seriously to make sure that the best man wins. They do have to overcome a lot of obstacles to be there. And as far as I'm concerned, they're all winners because you're competing against the best of the best to begin with. So there's no real losers in a category. It's just it's a great feeling to work, behind the scenes and experience this.
Absolutely.
That's
And
awesome. I've got a question for Scott Wiener. I've always wondered, and I think Scott, you're the perfect person to answer this because you have actually written a couple of articles for Pizza Today over the years in which you've kind of detailed your judging experiences and what a judge looks for in this capacity. Something I've always wondered is, how judges keep their personal biases out of the scoring. And by personal bias, I don't mean, oh, I know that pizza maker or anything like that. What I mean by that is I'll use myself as an example. I really love spicy. My palate gravitates towards spicy. If there's habaneros on there, if there's a lot of hot honey, a lot of jalapenos, some spicy sopressata, I'm going to love that pizza, and I'm going to give that pizza high marks if it's well executed. Personally, I don't like anchovies, and that's an easy one to pick on, right? A lot of people don't like them. But for example, if I'm served a pizza that's loaded with anchovies, I'm going to have a difficult time fairly scoring that pizza because I'm going to be turned off by the flavor of the anchovies. How do you keep your personal biases out of there? Maybe you are a person who thinks pineapple doesn't belong on pizza, or maybe you're a person who loves XYZ and you see that ingredient and you get excited. When it comes down to that, how do you refrain from being unfair, let's say, to a pizza that may have an ingredient that you don't personally enjoy?
It's a great question, because I think every pizza maker who's in the competition worries that the judge who eats their pizza is just not going to like onions. And fortunately, there are a couple of ways around that. One of them is, I know I personally always remind myself that I'm not eating for my taste. I'm eating for everybody's taste. And it's also not so much about taste as it is about objectivity. So I try to push subjectivity away, and I'm really trying to work objectively. I know I personally judge, everybody judges differently, but I personally judge starting every category at 10 points. And then I sort of dock for technical flaws, things that you can't argue about, that, oh, well, this is too much flour. There's a lot of burn on this pizza. It's unevenly baked. There's a gum line. It's out of balance. If it's something that has nothing but anchovy on top, then that's going to be an unbalanced pizza, and it'll have nothing to do with the flavor profile of anchovy. So I really try to approach it from an objective standpoint and not from a person who just wants to eat something that tastes good.
I love that answer. And that's why you gentlemen are judges and I'm not, because
Jeremy's
my
not
personal bias would get in the way. So that's a great answer. Well done.
I think I could judge only because I love everything. Like there's nothing that you're going to sway me to be like, oh no, I can't eat that pizza. Like I'm going to eat every single piece of pizza. You know, I think, you know, to kind of give people a base, because some people that are listening to the podcast maybe have never been to Pizza Expo or have never competed, so they don't really know kind of what the framework is. Who wants to just kind of break down the basics on how pizzas are judged in general? Hasi, do you have an answer for that one?
Well, you know, there's five categories you have to judge. And I think, like Scott was saying, something you don't like, but there's other categories you can focus to begin with and start grading them in that area, starting with the 10, like he says. And then getting to your taste problem, that you don't like something or do, and see if you can challenge that part of it, how to do it. Hopefully that'll take the judge's focus, because they don't like something, forget about other categories. We still have to stick with the categories that we give them the proper and fair grades, and then challenge the taste, like Scott said, push that away in my mind, and live with anchovy no matter what.
Scott Anthony, what about you? When you're looking at the basics of judging a pizza, what, you know, for those people that have never done it before, what is the primary focus on judging?
For me, it's balance. And I think that goes back to Jeremy's question to Scott. Do the toppings balance each other? If somebody really likes hot, is there something there to balance that out for someone else and to make them like that pizza, that topping combination? But as far as, you know, the judges go, we've worked really, really hard to make this a contest with as much integrity and credibility as we can. We reworked all the judging score sheets. And we're going to be sending some of these out to everybody, but you're going to see, like, we have guidelines to go by.
Mm-hmm.
We have a scale of 1 to 10. You can start at the top and then minus for different things. 5 is average, and we can go from there if we want. Every judge will have a different way that they, total their points, but there's certain things we look at. And I guess what I always call, like, the foundation of your creation is the crust. So yeah. That's always been a starting point for me, is the crust. And then just following through with the guidelines. We've, talked about these things. The judges have talked amongst ourselves of how we should, be doing these things. And so we're all on the same level playing field with that.
Yeah. And how do you do it when you think about, like, when we're talking crust, okay, because you have such a wide variety of crust styles coming into the show, from pan to thin to even, tavern, which doesn't even use yeast most of the time. So you have a very different makeup of what's making that crust. So where do you put the emphasis there?
For myself, just this week, we got our schedule for judging and what we're going to be judging. So each judge, whether it's something they eat a lot of, or it's something like myself, I'm an operator, it's something I make in my store. We need to personally really look into that type of pizza and see what's expected. What's a great Detroit style pizza? What's a great grandma pizza? What's a great Sicilian crust? Learn, we have, what, 6 weeks now until Expo.
Yep.
So you have 6 weeks to, is it shorter than that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're
yeah.
like 18 days away.
We're getting really close.
Yeah. Time just goes by too fast.
Yeah, it does.
I know, right?
But judges need to educate themselves in all these different styles. And that's why we have a schedule. You know what you're going to be judging. So you should learn about that style. And look for those particular qualities when you're judging it.
Yeah. Anyone who wants to tackle this question, feel free. Okay. I know that the judges do talk a lot leading up to the show, as Scott Anthony has just alluded, working on criteria and communicating to make sure everyone's on the same page. Once you're actually on site and you're sampling pizzas and scoring them, how much do the judges communicate at that point? Do I go in my own world and I just, my own opinion, judge a pizza? Or are you communicating with one another? Are you talking about this pizza back and forth a little bit before you score? Or is everyone in their own bubble the entire time? How does that work? I know no one's like lobbying for, Scott Anthony's not saying to Hasse, oh, you should score this pizza higher. Or I know that's not happening, but are you communicating about the merits of a pizza before you score it? Or are you simply, like I said, in your own world?
This is something that we really have worked on this past year, as far as ethics and guidelines for the judges. And so we're doing a certification class for judges. Got a nice long list of do's and don'ts. And he made the nice reference that, yeah, we're all going to be like the boy in the bubble. Don't communicate. Don't in any way try to influence someone else. Your subjectivity is your own. And you rate that as you rate that, not as I would or anyone else. You shouldn't let other people influence you. And as far as communication goes, the judges aren't to be posting pictures of the pizzas until after the contest is all over. You don't want the contestants to know that you've judged their pizza. It's all blind. We don't want to be talking, with each other about it on how to score it. But it should be, kept to maintain the integrity of the judging process.
I love that. Scott Wiener, I wanted to ask you, because I know you wrote an article about this at one point, so it makes you kind of a perfect person to answer this. How do you clear your palate between pizzas? If I had just tasted a pie that's got a lot of garlic, a lot of heavy, heavy, intense flavors, and it's not that long before another pizza's coming out, how do I get my palate ready for that next pizza?
It's a really important thing. And I saw some giggles. I see Hasi always laughs because he knows when I walk in to judge, I have like a kit of palate cleansers with me.
Yeah.
Because, I love that.
Like, because it's re- and it's really important. And I'll say that this year, the judges will be provided with palate cleansers. So there will be seltzer water. There will be apples. We might have some light citrus. You know, we've done a lot of research into what can help keep a judge's palate clean and what can help reset between pizzas. As Scott Anthony said before, we have this code of ethics and we'll have a class for all the judges where we'll remind everybody that having a coffee 5 minutes before you judge food is not a good idea for your palate and other guidelines. So how do we keep things clear? Well, we know that competitors love doing extremes in some of these competitions. So if they're going to hit you with the spicy, the peppers and the honey and the sweet and the heat and everything to 10, you have to reset afterwards. And I like apples. That's my number one. I always have an apple on the table. Take a bite just to reset. I love bubbly water because the effervescence of the water will physically help remove food particles from your mouth. And I usually just drink straight room temperature flat water as well.
You know, I think about, like, I went and judged a pizza competition once. It was in Kentucky. And I think about, like, I judged probably, I don't know, maybe 30 pizzas. Like, how many pizzas are judges, you know, tasting? And, you know, and give us some insights into the quantity, because when people think about, oh, there are 500 competitors in this competition, you know, what are judges actually, you know, actually eating?
Well, I think we have about 50 judges, and some judges like to sit for a while. Like, some judges want to eat 30 or 40 slices in a day, and it's not whole slices. They're taking a couple of bites, assessing, and then moving on. But, and then some judges will do for less time. So it's a bit of a mix, but I think when you're sitting down for an hour, you can expect to be tasting 8 to 10 slices in that hour.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's manageable. If you're tasting 40, it becomes a problem. And I know early on, competitors used to worry if they were last or near the end, they were legitimately worried about that. Hasi, as Denise said earlier, you've been doing this for a long time. Both Scots have touched upon some of the very important changes that have taken place to the judging over the last few years. It seems like we've come a long way. Let's say compared to 15 or 20 years ago, the way these pizzas were judged, seems like that we have really refined the process and just keep making it more equitable, as fair as it can be, as blind and unbiased as it can be. And now we're getting to the point to where the judges are even actively talking to one another about how to reset your palate. So it seems like we've come a really long way. Could you just touch upon some of the changes and why they've been a good thing for the competitors, who really is what we're all trying to keep forefront in our minds, right? It's what's best for the competitors.
I think this is exceptionally great, the rules for the judges, or educating the judges. It's a great, great thing is happening. Because we're going to have a rookie judges, we're going to have a new judges that they've never been into that room before. As I said earlier too, and that's going to be a tough one for them. So the program we have right now together, all the judges, Scott, both the Scots, Jeremy and everyone else involved, we're trying to educate the judges by letting them know do's and don'ts, and that gives them more confidence to judge. And like categories, what are you looking for even? So education and certifying the judge, I think, is becoming fantastic. Regarding talking with each other, we all agreed together that we shouldn't give any impression, whether verbally or not verbally, by just moving our heads and saying, you know, shaking our heads or complimenting or negative, both ways, it's going to influence someone else. So we are avoiding all that. And that's been mentioned already. It is so great what I'm looking at. We're more into a frame of judging, so complete. It's getting so much better. which I think the competitors should appreciate what we're doing for them to judge them more accurately by developing ourselves better and better.
It's all about the poker face. Look at Scott Anthony. He's got a great poker face. He's wearing it right now. Look at that.
Everybody tells me that.
I don't know if you approve or disapprove of what Hossie said because your poker face was that good, Scott.
I don't even know if he's awake.
I love it. I love that. Scott Anthony, a question for you. I've often wondered this as well. If something, so the International Pizza Challenge has been around for a long time, and we've seen everything, especially in the non-traditional category. I mean, I just go back just really quickly. I can remember blood sausage, kangaroo, rattlesnake, right? We see everything. Mm-hmm. When you see something for the first time that you've never, it gets harder and harder to bring something to the International Pizza Challenge that hasn't been done before. To my knowledge, I could be wrong. I don't ever remember seeing a Quad City pizza with the heavy malt in the crust, for example. If you were to see something brand new that you've never seen before, does that up your score? Does that pique your interest? What does that do for you in terms of scoring?
If in certain categories of judging, like with the pan division, creativity is something that you base the score on. So if I saw something that was new and they really pulled it off, that would be something really exciting for me, and I would score them high. Like when a restaurant around here did rattlesnake and cactus pierogies, like I had to have that. That was so exciting. I just had to try it, and I loved it. But yeah, like I said, as an operator, like you get a lot of inspiration from these contests. So when you see something new coming in, you know, these guys are competing to win. They're not playing to the judges. So they don't know who's behind the curtain. So you have to be, you know, open-minded too and try things. I think it was probably 15 years ago when I was judging, when I saw someone put sliced strawberries on a pizza. And I'll be darned, like that was a great combination. It was sweet that complemented. I think they had a salty meat on it also.
I can't remember that one.
Yeah, you know, try it. Try it. You'll like it. It's an exciting thing for me to see some new combinations and the things that people come up with.
Awesome. Scott Wiener, same question for you. If you see something brand new that you have in all your years of judging, you've never seen before, obviously it's going to pique your interest, but does that impact the score you give the pizza?
There's no direct impact. It's not like if I see something I've never seen before that I automatically boost it. It's just, you know, a good pizza is a good pizza. Mm-hmm. And whether it's, you know, a cauliflower crust or got, you know, shredded smoked turkey on top, it like doesn't really matter, just because a good flavor combination with great texture that's well made is a better pizza. I think it's the problem that people have, I think, in some of the competitions is they might go too far without having a reason. You know what I mean? Like if there's no reason for it, then that's when it's negative. If it's, they've never seen elephant on a pizza, that's not a reason to do it. You know what I mean? Like, but and it doesn't have to be that extreme. I think sometimes when it's as simple as, oh, I did a 500-hour sourdough, blah, 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 you know, all this stuff, and then there's no reason, and the flavor of that resulting crust doesn't match the rest of the pizza, to me, that's just as difficult to score. It's going to score low as something that's done to be outrageous just for the purpose of being outrageous.
Yeah.
And you know, that's the beauty of the traditional category as well, that creativity is taken away. It's simplicity wins in that category. And to me, that's by far the hardest category to win, because you can't wow the judges with something creative. It's just pure execution on something very, very simple. Hossie, how do you judge that category?
I totally agree with him. I think I'm going to go for end results. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to get impacted by something very creative sitting on top of the pizza, which I've been seeing that. I'm still going to go back to square one. I'm going to check the things I'm supposed to look for, the crust, which is the god of everything right there. I'm going to look for that. I'm not going to let that impact that creativity. They did something to overpower everything else I'm looking at. Definitely not. I'm just going to definitely go step by step, checking the things that balance the crust, baked. I mean, if there was a category called marketability, that would be totally different. Because these things are not even, they get a zero on marketability, you know. But there is no such a thing as a category. So I'm looking at it as, is this pizza tastes good? Does it have all ingredients? No matter, like he said, discusses how many hundreds of hours this, that's not going to impact me. I'm still going to look at end result, what's in front of me. I'm going to check that out. And that's all it's going to be.
Yeah, I got you. You know, I think about like when we're at the competition, you know, you will see people on the scoreboard disqualified. And we do see that quite often, that every year somebody gets disqualified because maybe in the traditional category they had too many toppings on it, or something like that. What are the biggest mistakes that you're seeing in the judges' room as far as pizzas go? And I'll let each one of you answer that. Maybe start with Scott Wiener because he's smiling really big.
Well, it's just because I, you know, anytime that a competitor is confused about their score, I always ask them, did you read the rules before you made your pizza?
Right.
Yeah.
Because fortunately for everybody, it's in black and white. It's on the Pizza Expo website. You can see the rules, and the judges will follow the rules. And as Hasi said, if marketability is not on the page, then I don't care how marketable that pizza is. It doesn't matter. It's not on the page. If creativity is not being scored, then it doesn't matter in that category. You have to make the pizza for the rules. So in the room, what do we see? Well, if they've put extra toppings on or tried to sneak in this basil leaf here or there, and if it's explicitly explained that that's not permitted, then we can't do anything about it. This is why objectivity really is in the forefront of the competition here, because you have to abide by these constraints. Otherwise, it's just out of our hands. So that's the big thing. Read the rules. And I think we even making available the score sheets. You could, the competitors should read the score sheets. And I'll say that we simplified it this year. It's very simple. Some of the categories are weighed differently. They're all scored out of 10, 1 to 10 points. The guidance is written right on the page. And then if we need to refer back to the main rules, we do. When we're at the table, if somebody says, oh, are you allowed to put pecorino after the bake on this pizza margherita in the Neapolitan competition? We'll pull out the rules and we'll say, oh, no, you're not allowed to. So I don't care if it's going to taste better, if it's not, if it's in the rules, that's what we follow.
Right. I was just going to add in, Scott, that it's heartbreaking. You see someone who flies all the way across the country to compete, and they've spent many months working on something they think they're going to wow you with, and then they get disqualified. It's heartbreaking, but at the same time, it's your own fault if you get disqualified. The rules are, as you say, black and white. They are available to everyone. I mean, it's just as simple as a three strikes and you're out in baseball, right? You don't sit there and argue, well, am I out? Well, no, you swung and missed it. Strike three, you are out. That's the rule. So what's heartbreaking to see someone get DQ'd, it's really your own fault if that happens and you have no one to blame but yourself. Read the daggone rules. They're available for you.
Yeah,
read.
We'll put them in the show notes too so that everybody can check them out.
That's right. Hey, Scott Anthony, I wanted to ask you as an owner operator of a pizzeria, when you come across a pizza in your judging and you think to yourself, wow, this would really fly on my menu, my staff can execute this really well, this would be great, does that impact your scoring of that pizza?
No. I really try to stick to the rules. Unless marketability, as was mentioned, is a factor, I don't have to worry about marketing it when I'm judging it. What I take home with me goes with me, but there in the judging circle, we're just going by the rules. That's what they're there for. And we really, really are pushing this year that the judges are very well acquainted with the rules and the contestants are too. And so that's what we want to stick by, those guidelines.
Great answer. Now, on the flip side of that, have you ever had a pizza and you said, wow, my staff can pull this off and it would be great. And then 6 months later, after you mess around with it, it's on your menu in Pennsylvania. Has that ever happened?
I've added some toppings because of some of the pizzas that I've eaten, and they go very well with our menu and our demographics. So yeah, I mean, I've learned a lot of things. I've learned a lot of things, you know, competing too internationally, of like some great flavor pairings that I've used. So, you know, I keep those in the back of my head for when I go home. And yeah, it's a learning experience, and it's very inspirational to learn from your peers.
Yeah, because Denise, we see that a lot. We'll see a pizza win, and then we see it pop up on menus all across the country. That definitely happens every year.
Probably the toughest thing we see is somebody do a really intricate pizza that is really tough on their staff to actually execute. And then if they win, they take it back, and then it has to become just a one-off special, like a one day only or a very limited special, because they, unfortunately, it's just a little time consuming. So we do see that a little bit, but those pizzas are still amazing pies to be able to present out there too.
Hossie, I've got a question for you. As someone who has judged for a long time, if you were anointed king of International Pizza Challenge, lifetime pass, free pass to do anything you want, and you have been bestowed upon you the power to add a new category that does not exist right now, what category would you add?
Oh,
well, that's a tough question.
I see Scott Wiener wants to answer this too, so hop in after Hossie here.
Let me go back on one thing on the DQ. I have something to say about the DQ.
Of course.
Yeah,
language problem I've been noticed out there, and there's some of the competitors that come to us and they are totally unaware of all rules. Somebody didn't even translate this properly to them, and me and Jeremy, we both have so much problem with that. The guy doesn't know. He says, I didn't, nobody told me that. And the poor guy gets DQ'd because he wasn't even aware of it. I don't know how to solve this issue, and who's translating what to them. Are the rules are written down in their language too or not? I'm not aware of it.
Okay, you're talking some of our international competitors who are not English speaking, correct?
Exactly. Yeah,
that's a great question. That ought to be totally honest with you, I do not know the answer to that question, but that's Jeremy Galvin and Bill Oakley that we'll want to talk to them about and see how that is facilitated.
Because it's not their fault either. I'm looking at it. I said, he wasn't aware of it. He doesn't even know. All he knows, he's going to make his pizza and all that. Regarding what type of something new category to add to it.
Could be anything you want, right? We added calzones. It could be anything you want.
A calzone has been, you know, I teach pizza here in Academy.
Yeah.
One of the things we do is stuffed pizza, Chicago style, calzone, strambolis, and all that. Calzone is becoming quite popular in fine dining, actually, these days. It's becoming so well what's inside and how it looks like out there. And if you go to our website, you see some of the calzones that I perform. It's just becoming so popular. I would add calzone. But then again, there's an issue with the calzone. When it comes out, they all kind of look same unless you get to the ingredients inside, which traditionally is made with ricotta cheese to start with. And then it goes on and on with other cheeses. But I had a calzone in another restaurant, didn't have any ricotta cheese. And I knew the general manager. I asked him, I said, what happened? I said, Greg, what happened to the ricotta cheese? He goes, what do you expect? My cook is Mexican. He didn't have no, they do it their way. Every chef does it their way. Mm-hmm. And so probably a calzone will be something very interesting to have as a category out there. That's how I feel.
Scott, what about you?
This is funny.
Go ahead.
Well, I've been thinking about this for the past couple minutes here, and how, you know, I love that we had for a couple of years, we had the tandem competition, which was kind of a real world competition. A pair of pizza makers from a pizzeria. You got a certain amount of minutes to make three or four pies and put them in a box. And I thought that was a cool competition. And I like the element of reality. I also love what we do in the final competitions. I think it's maybe best of the best, where there's a surprise element. I think in that competition, it's a surprise ingredient.
Yeah.
I would love a competition that maybe only five or six people can possibly enter. And then there's a last, like a curveball competition. And maybe it's the last second. It's okay. Here's what we're going to do. Here's the curveball. Everybody move to the station to your right. And you're going to use somebody else's ingredients for this pizza.
Or, oh, wow.
You know what I mean? Like just something that's a total curveball to really test, not the pizza, but it's really testing the pizza maker.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
That would be interesting. Scott Anthony, what would you add?
I'd kind of like to see an appetizer competition.
Hey, all right.
That's a great one.
I think what leads into your meal and sort of builds the anticipation up for your pizza can be the appetizer. And I know, like traveling abroad, appetizers are included in every meal. Whether it's a antipasta or, you know, some prosciutto wrapped melon or a salad, what's going to come first? And, you know, I've had some really great appetizers. I, you know, couldn't pronounce the name. I had to Google it up and see what it really was. But there's some fantastic ideas out there of what you can, you know, have before and leading up into your pizza. So I'd really like to see something like that and some of the unique ideas people come up with.
I love that. I've always personally thought it would be fun, almost a decathlon type, where you make an appetizer, a pizza, a non-pizza dish, and a dessert. Now, obviously, time constraints there would be insane, but that would show really a full range of your command, I think would be amazing. But again, the time constraints would be maybe just a little much. But I've always thought that would be awesome. What about you, Denise?
I'd like to see all the alternative crusts go head-to-head. I'd like to see cauliflower. There's a crazy chicken crust out there. Like I just want to see all of the alternative crusts go head to head and see what that would be like. Like that's just me.
Well, we need to get word to Bill Oakley that the five smartest people in the room are on this podcast right now.
Yeah. We've
all figured out.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and we could go on it. Like, we could make this podcast a four-hour podcast, just keep talking about pizza competitions. So let's end it out on this question. You know, what else do we really want everyone to know about what's happening with IPC judging right now? Like, what else do we want everyone to make sure they know? Scott Wiener, you're thinking.
As long as everybody sticks to the page and competitors understand that the rules are all written right there and understand that the judges are following the same exact rules, and then if something's not on the page, it's not in the competition. And also to understand, competitors should know that we now have formalized this code of ethics, which has always been unspoken. And now we've formalized it. So if you're ever really worried about what's going on behind the curtain, no need to worry, because we've really allowed ourselves to become sticklers more than we ever had been before. And it's been amazing, because there's a bunch of us who have been judges for years, and we just really want to, we see that the competition is getting bigger. And as it's getting bigger, we see what challenges are ahead. And it's pretty amazing to see that Bill Oakley and Michael LaMarca and, you know, Jeremy Galvin and everybody have been bringing it up proactively. So I'm hoping that it means that the competitors will have even more faith in how the judging works.
How about you, Hasse? Anything else to add?
I mean, he said it so well. Exactly what we've done. I think our progress, follow the rules, both sides, judges are going to follow. Etiquettes are absolutely great, the way it's put together. I think this is so beautiful, the way I couldn't explain it as well as just Scott just did. It's just beautiful. Thank you so much.
All right, Scott Anthony.
I'm just really excited about the judge's code of ethics and the certification course that Scott Weiner and Jeremy Galvin are going to be having with the judges, so that we're all on the same page and the judging isn't going to be just left up to how you interpret things, but here's the exact guidelines we want you to follow and, you know, maintain your integrity, maintain the integrity of the contest.
Well said, gentlemen. Thank you for thank you for your time today on the podcast, but thank you for all the time and energy that you put into judging these competitions, and that you put into making sure the competition is equitable, is fair, is done with integrity, is done above board the right way. I'm biased here, but I think we have the best competition in the world. But I think that we have that because we do put our competitors first, and we do place an emphasis on the integrity. And you gentlemen, just, you know, today just solidified that opinion as far as I'm concerned. Thank you for your time and for everything you do. We really appreciate you.
Yeah, and we will see you behind the curtain at Pizza Expo. And for those, we're going to put a lot of stuff in that show notes so you can see all the goodies behind competing at International Pizza Challenge. So it'll be a lot of fun to check it out.
All right, we'll see you guys. Thank you.
All right, take care.
Thanks. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.